Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. It is a Tuesday afternoon here in Chicago. Steve Bertrand on 720 WGN. And you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. A little bit later on the program, Andrew Herman will be here, and he's going to talk about, well, a couple of things. There's a kickboxing as fitness, but also, and we talked about something similar to this not too long ago, but there's this kind of trunk club for kids where you can buy expensive clothing for young children, and then apparently this company will buy it back. That's one of the businesses and openings and closings that we will talk with Andrew Herman about later. I'm not sure how he gets here. He usually just walks across the river, but he might pick up a ride with Chariot. That's a new company coming to Chicago. He couldn't ride with Chariot, could he? Chariot is an Uber company, but for women only. Can that possibly be? Suzanne Mushin will be here to talk about that. She's the co-host of The Big Payoff. Seems odd to me that they would hire only women and allow only women or young boys to ride. Not sure that's legal. First, Marie LaMagna from MarketWatch is on a phone line, and she's one of my favorites. Marie, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, okay, when's the last time you were at the grocery store?
Last night. Thank you for asking. I have to make many trips. I live in New York, so I can only carry so many bags at a time.
Would your insurance company be pleased with what you purchased?
I hope so. I don't have one of these programs myself, but I hope they would be. I try to stay on the healthy side.
It's a growing trend. And I mean, I think it started with smoking. You know, you were charged more if you smoked when it comes to your health insurance, or some companies have fitness incentives, like if you take an exercise class or walk so many steps, right? I mean, that's the 40% of us are obese. So that's a real sort
right.
of growth area when it comes to health insurance.
Exactly. And I think last year we saw that, you know, with all these, this trend of wearables, that we saw a lot of people last year starting to give wearables to their employees, or, yeah, as you said, life insurance companies giving out Fitbits and Apple Watches, or, you know, whatever, that kind of program. But now we're starting to see, you know, with the ability of technology like that, we're kind of pushing the limits even more and seeing what else we can track and try to change behavior and give people incentives for being healthy.
We heard the sirens behind you, but now we know it's just those New York values, or maybe Ted Cruz campaigning in Manhattan.
Exactly.
So it goes to the grocery store, right? There's a company now that will work. I think John Hancock is one of the insurance companies behind it, that will monitor what you actually buy at the grocery store.
Yeah, so that's the latest. There's a third-party company that they're working with called Vitality that has started a similar program in South Africa for the last several years. And yes, now John Hancock has partnered with them and are offering the same program to their life insurance policyholders. But yeah, basically the program involves employees or policyholders linking their grocery store loyalty cards to Vitality's program, and that program will track what you buy. And if you buy healthy things, or, you know, items that Vitality has designated as healthy, you'll get a rebate for them.
Now, Maria, is that
decide how much?
Is this for life insurance, or is this for health insurance through the workplace, or is it a combination? How does it fit in there?
Yeah, so Vitality also provides life insurance, so it depends on what arrangement they have with each company. So, for John Hancock, it's policyholders, but some other companies use it as just their normal workplace fitness program, and so it just depends on how the company wants to do it.
And it's an opt-in thing, right? I mean, if they don't have to know that I love barbecued Fritos.
Exactly, yeah. You can decide whether or not you want to do it, but yeah, the incentive to do it is that you can get some money back if you're willing to give them that information about what you're going to buy at the grocery store.
How do you get the money back? How do they figure that out?
That's a good question. I think that also depends based on your workplace. But you get the rebate. I'm not sure if it's a direct deposit or how that works.
Right. But I mean, I guess my question is, does the rebate vary on what you buy? So, I mean, if you're like kind of healthy, you get some money. If you're very healthy, you get more money, or, you know.
Yeah, so you get a 25% discount for the items that qualify.
I see. Okay.
And then they just cap you off at however much, you know, that company is willing to invest in this kind of program.
So if you just want the money, you buy the broccoli and you throw it away and you get the 25% discount.
Exactly. Hopefully people don't do that, but I guess you could.
I guess they wouldn't be the economics majors, would they?
Right.
it's worked well in South Africa?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it has, the Vitality program said that people have increased the proportion of healthy to unhealthy items a little bit. They said it's about like a 9% change. So not huge, but it does seem like it is incentivizing people to make a little bit healthier choices.
We're talking to Marie Lamagna. She writes in MarketWatch about this new company or this new sort of business of monitoring what you eat and impacting your life insurance and health insurance bills. And I know you don't know exactly the number, but it looks like maybe 700,000 people in the U.S. currently are eligible to take part in this sort of program.
Exactly. They're eligible. It depends. I think we have heard a little bit of pushback from different people. You know, I talked to a couple of people in the story and asked them how you feel about this kind of thing, especially since I think it does open the door to some privacy concerns. So,
yeah, right. We didn't even address that. You're right. I didn't even address that, really.
Right. So I talked to an employee at Lockton, which is one company that has done it, and they said about 85% of people have opted in and done it. So that's a pretty big percent of people that are deciding to participate. But yeah, some people have said, you know, I feel like that's a little bit invasive or that's just not for me. It's not worth a rebate to me to let my boss and company know what I'm buying. So I do think it kind of opens the door, you know.
Would my boss know that I, you know, like to buy the pepperoni home run and pizzas at the freezer section?
So when I talked to Vitality, they said no. It's not that detailed. They kind of just, most companies will just get an overview of these are some trends and what employees are buying and that kind of thing. So probably not, but, you know, I think it's reasonable to be concerned about how your privacy may or may not be, you know, protected in this kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd like to say it's a way to save money, but it's probably really just a way we're going to be presented to pay less money in the future because things are just going to keep going up. Marie Lamagna from MarketWatch, I love talking to you, and I'm so glad, you know, just behind the scenes, you were a little last minute. We had a little crisis, and I'm glad you're available, and I hope I can't wait till the next time we talk. It's 12:22. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Last week, when Andrew Herman from DNA Info was here, we talked empanadas, and today I'm going to kick him in the teeth.
I'm ready.
He's here. John comes by. Andrew comes by each week to talk about openings and closings around the city. And one of the things that this is growing, isn't it, the whole kickboxing? I mean, I go to a gym, and, you know, they've got the punching bag and all of that.
Yeah.
And, I think what my job is for.
I think exercise is so inherently boring that they have to keep coming up with new ways to make it interesting.
Well, or at least to remarket it. I think that might be it. And so kickboxing is kind of one of the new things.
Right. So this is kind of kickboxing with a twist. This is called Nine Rounds Fitness. They've just opened a new place at 1257 West Fullerton near DePaul. It's actually part of a national chain. And it's kickboxing without getting kicked in the face, basically.
Right.
So what they do is they set up nine different stations, and they're all kind of related to all the physical activity that you'd have to do in kickboxing. And so there's nine different stations. You spend 3 minutes at each station. A bell goes off, and you move to the next station. And they say that...
You know what this is, right? You know what this reminds me of?
What? Speed dating?
No, Curves. Remember Curves, the wildly popular gym for women? Where they would set up different stations and you would go in. They were like a storefront.
How do you know about this?
Because I worked with Kathy and Judy.
Okay.
You don't remember Curves at all?
No.
Oh, and so you'd go and you'd be at one machine for 3 minutes and someone would blow a whistle and then you would move to the next. And it was sort of structured but unstructured.
Yeah.
Which is like what this is.
Yeah,
right.
So this is so you go in there and so there's nine stations and you do different things at every station. Like, you know, one be like dumbbells and one be jump rope and others be kicking or whatever. So if you go in there and somebody's at station one and two, you just go to three and then you just kind of work your way around the circle. And so the idea is that you can get into this place, do the exercise, get in, get out, burn the calories, and you're on your way. And it was started by a actual kickboxing champion in South Carolina, and he started maybe 8 years ago with one, and now there's 300 of them.
Wow, and this one's in DePaul.
Yeah.
Literally in DePaul.
The DePaul area there in Lincoln Park. But, this is a franchise deal that's exploding.
We talked a few weeks ago, I don't know if it was with you, Andrew, or someone else, about Pat Tillman's widow, remember the Arizona Cardinal? She's relocated to Chicago, and she started a business of, it's kind of a trunk club for kids. Higher end clothes for kids. It's not Runchkins, I don't think, but this is the one that we wanted to talk about today. This one, Runchkins, has even another sort of twist to it.
Well, this is an online place in River North, and basically it's they sell boutique clothes through the mail. And the way
to
it works,
little kids, or for little kids.
To the parents and the loved ones. For little kids, yeah, newborns to 6 years old. And basically you go on there, you fill out a survey. They try and get an idea of what kind of style you like and the size of that your child would wear. And then once a month they send you a box with some very nice boutique clothes on them. And then you decide, okay, I'm going to keep this one. I don't want this one. You send it back, which is kind of a common theme, I guess, in these trunk clubs. But in this one, if your child wears the clothes and they don't destroy them, you can send them back at a later date, and then they kick you back some of the money.
I love the kickback. It's just like it's kind of a theme.
Yeah.
The owner, Jeff Chang, said he was shopping for his six-week-old niece or something and found a darling $100 cashmere outfit. And so that's where the idea for this came from.
That's the thing uncles buy, right? Not actual parents.
Right. But now, okay, so they'll buy the clothes back.
Uh-huh.
But you're not, I mean, it's at a deep discount, right? I mean, this still is going to cost.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to get like 20% of the cost back, but you kind of put it on your account, and then you use it to buy some more clothes. And I think it's a great idea because even if you're not spending $100 for a cashmere sweater for a six-month-old, the way kids grow out of their clothes so fast, you do end up with, like, lots of clothes that have hardly been worn. So this guy has got an idea, and it's interesting. We often talk about small businesses and how they get started, and this one was right out of this guy's life. He said, I'll bet there's a market for this.
And we'll see if there is, because it's an interesting business. It's a higher end. I already did this with my kids, but we called them garage sales.
Yeah, right. Goodwill.
Goodwill, right. But this is Runchkins, and it's up online, right? And people are interested in buying some nice clothing. It's a subscription clothing for your kids.
Right, Runchkins.com.
All right. Mm-hmm. Andrew Herman from DNA Info, Chicago. DNA Chicago. What's the correct address?
DNAinfo.com/Chicago. One day you will get this right,
Steve. I'm
going
to write it down. Nice to see you again.
Okay.
You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Now, Kim, you are an Uber driver, not driver, but rider, right? I think I've heard you refer to taking the...
I'm a rider. You don't want me to be an Uber driver.
Uber driver. Well, have you heard about this new Chariot company that's coming to Chicago?
No. Tell me about it.
Suzanne Mushin is in the studio. She's the co-host of The Big Payoff. You can listen to it at WGN Plus. It's one of my favorite podcasts. And Suzanne, welcome to the program. Welcome back to the studio.
I feel like we have topics today that we might agree on.
Okay, well, maybe, yeah, probably, that's
or not.
Okay. No, it's okay if we do.
From time to time.
So tell me about Chariot and this new Uber for women.
Right. It's not just for women to ride, it's all women drivers, right? So Chariot for Women, it's going to launch on April 19th. The rules are you have to be female to be driving, and as a passenger, you have to be a female or, and this is the creepy part, a boy under the age of 13.
Right.
And, you know, they claim that they have more background checks, so their drivers have been tested more frequently.
So the supposition is that male Uber riders are dangerous.
And drivers, potentially.
And drivers.
Both sides of the equation might provoke some danger for women.
So this is a comfort safety zone.
I guess so. It just screams to me of lawsuit.
Well, it seems completely wrong to me.
Right on every level, legally, socially.
Okay, but let's assume the problem exists, okay?
Well, we know the problem exists.
So is there a solution to the problem? Or if you're worried about your safety, then you just don't become an Uber driver.
Right. So one thing, for example, I'm more careful on UberX. Right. That's just me. And it's not because
UberX is when you share rides.
Share rides or get a driver who's really not a certified taxi driver.
Okay.
Right. That's just me. But I think the solution to this is not women going into their own little zone of fantasy safety land, which how are we really sure that there aren't going to be drunken women getting into these cars?
Right.
Aggressive women getting into the cars. This seems to me like a complete attempt to use the issue of women and women as a target market and just completely
cynical, you're saying.
Oh, yeah, capitalizing on it.
So they're just trying to make
Chariot
cash out of exploiting fear.
I think so, don't you?
Maybe, or maybe they see it. Maybe it's not evil. Maybe it's a little exploitive, but it's not. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a legal idea.
I just think things like this can easily get turned around to the negative. And as I was saying before we got on the air, this whole rule that there have to be boys under the age of 13, just turn that around for a minute.
Yeah.
What if there were a car sharing service that had all male drivers and passengers could be men or girls under the age of 13? Now it's creepy.
Right, because men are bad and women aren't.
I guess so.
I mean, that's what this is all about.
I guess so.
Now, I will say I know of second or third hand of Uber drivers.
Yes.
Who pick up a lot of dates on driving home.
Good for them.
People at
bucket
the end of the
seats.
Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
so that happens a lot when women get into the car and maybe they've had too much to drink or they haven't, but the night's ending and all their friends are going home with someone.
Good for them. I wouldn't make a business out of that, though.
No.
I mean, then you're talking about yet another business you could launch
right.
specifically for that purpose, like a Tinder, but in cars.
Right. Okay. So we agree that this is probably not a great
idea.
It's called Chariot.
Chariot for women.
And it's coming. Is it in Chicago now?
It's going to be coming to Chicago. It's going to try to open up in major cities on April 19th. Even the name, Steve, Chariot for Women. I mean, like, are you rescuing us?
You're harsh. You are harder on it than I am, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it.
It bothers me.
I think it's... if you're Uber, do you sue to shut them down?
I think they're too small for Uber to even pay attention. They're like a blip on the screen. But I do think that they're waiting for a lawsuit. Waiting.
Well, sure. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. All right. Let's go to the workplace and stress and the way men deal with it in different ways than women.
Right. So a new study has come out that says, not surprisingly, if you want to really be speaking in general terms and cliches, but it says men and women do handle stress in the workplace differently. And the main difference...
American Psychological Association studies,
yes.
So it's not...
No, it's real.
It's not like us writing it.
No, it's not like you and I decided to ask a couple coworkers.
Right.
I mean, this is like a real study. But what it says is that women tend to handle stress in a mode that they call tend and befriend, which is that when they're stressed at work, they tend to comfort others. You're already laughing. Comfort others. Seek out social support, and men tend to be cavemen and go into fight-flight response. This is what the study says.
Yeah, right.
Right? And don't actually seek out social situations that are comforting. In fact, it suggests that men will seek out exercise or other forms of competition and aggression.
So what do you make of that?
I think it sounds on the surface like, well, duh, we could all, you know, nod our heads that we've seen from time to time men and women behaving this way, but not overall. I mean, I certainly read this and thought, wow, I must be a guy.
Well, and I typically read these things and think I'm a woman, but
see,
I don't.
This is why we get along so well.
But think of it. So what they've done, and again, I trust the survey. These are real people, this study.
Yeah.
But they've taken the male cliche.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
And they've ignored the female cliche.
Right.
Because what's the female cliche for stressed out at work?
Right. That we cry or huddle down or
going a little berserk.
Go off the rails.
Yeah. And according to that doesn't happen.
I also think
instead
that
instead you knit.
Right. We go into crochet mode.
Right.
I just think that studies like this don't help the conversation. If we're really trying to have a conversation about men and women and how we work better and more effectively in an office, this doesn't help.
Okay, but let's take it a different way then. So let's take the gender out of it, and there's two types.
Yep.
There's the aggression, the competitive reaction. There's that.
Fight, flight.
And then there's the what?
Tend
and friend.
Tend and befriend.
Tend and befriend.
Befriend.
Right.
Yeah, like befriend someone.
And the point of it is that we would all be better off if we did more tending and befriending. I get that.
I get that, although I have to say, as somebody who you know is rather on the antisocial side of, I'm an introvert, as you know,
right.
I would never seek out social comfort when I'm stressed.
Right.
Ever.
Things are really hard in the C-suite, and so let's...
Yeah.
Go bowling together?
No, that wouldn't be my choice.
Facebook chat.
Right, exactly. Let's form a group chat. No, I think that studies like this point out interesting observations that I'm sure, to your point, are true and, you know, a well-done study. But if we really want to have a conversation about what is the most effective way to handle stress in the workplace, I wouldn't want to break it down on gender lines like
okay,
this.
Okay, so one more thing I want to squeeze in, because you brought in this Maria Sharapova thing. And what's interesting is, a couple weeks old, she took a banned substance, and there may or may not have been a reason.
It's pretty obvious she took something.
Right. And so there's that.
Yes.
But I want to talk about it in context of our conversation about her a few months ago.
Right.
And that she wasn't ranked nearly as high as
Serena
Williams, but her endorsements were
off the charts.
Boffo.
Yeah.
And the idea was it was because she was cute.
She was beautiful and blonde and, yeah,
and
tall.
So now she gets in trouble this way.
And they all pull the plug.
Boom.
Yeah.
Almost all of them, right? Almost all of her.
All of the big
people
ones.
Where she's got endorsement contracts. I mean, they were pulling out that day.
They were pulling out that day in a way that they did not do when they had men in trouble.
Is it because of men, or is it because of her endorsement level sort of exceeded her professional skill level?
You
see what I'm saying?
You could. I mean, look.
Maybe she was getting those deals because she was a pretty face, not the best tennis player, and that made it easier to take them.
And they were saying she's 28, which in the tennis world is old.
Yeah.
You could say all of those things. The real question you have to have here is, she made this mistake. They immediately pull out. They aren't providing the kind of support for her. And in a fickle world in which we don't really know how the sponsorship game works, something doesn't smell right.
There's something here, right.
Yeah.
That's Suzanne Buchan, co-host of The Big Payoff. I want you to listen to it at WGNplus.com.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard.
Oh, it's the love boat here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. 720 WGN. I want to be... Gopher. I'll be Gopher. And Chris Brown is here. He's the creator of Catered Cruises, sort of Uber for boats. So who do you want to be? Were you there? Did you watch The Love Boat?
I think I wanted to be Captain Scooby.
Just Stubing.
Stubby, there it is.
Oh, you were so close. Okay. All right. So Chris is in the studio. It's a business that's going to be up and running. You're kicking things off right at the end of the month or beginning of next month.
Well, we're trying to launch officially on May 1st. Obviously, it's still going to be a little chilly, but we will have boats in the water by then.
Yeah, it'd be good to be out there while there's still a little ice on the water. There's no problem there.
It's an adventure. Some of our boats have some enclosures. We have full cabins on several vessels that are 26 to 60 feet. So definitely we're able to still go out on the water. We just chose to launch May 1st.
You know, Uber's become an adjective that, you know, to describe things. And so this has sort of been described as an Uber cruise, where you are going to hook up boat owners with people who want to go out on a boat on Lake Michigan for a night, right? Is that how do you explain the business?
Well, first, we're not associated with Uber. I think they're comparing us to the service of Uber,
sure,
maybe not the company.
Sure.
Now, for boating, we want to get people out on the water, number one, to experience the water, to experience what Chicago has to offer and a great resource in Lake Michigan. But more importantly, we want to get them out there quickly and efficiently with a safe captain that's been certified by the city, state, and federally, and definitely approved by the Coast Guard.
You have a boat?
I used to have a boat. That's why this company really started. it was just so expensive.
Yeah.
You know, $800 on gas and the slip fees, and I lost it when the real estate market turned.
Yeah.
So every time I drove by, you know, Lakeshore Drive, I would look by and say, you know, how am I going to get out there without the expense of really getting out there?
Well, you know, a couple of things, because I'm interested in the businessness of it. But it is, we have an amazing relationship with Lake Michigan, I think, in Chicago, because mostly we drive by and look at it, right? We don't get in it, and we certainly, most of us don't have a chance to see the city from it. And this is a way, really, to get a lot of people an opportunity to do that on something other than some big cruise boat.
These are private, and we have 77 communities in Chicago. And I would say 75 of those communities think that this is just impossible for them to do.
Yeah.
They've never seen the skyline at night. They've never been under the aircrafts at the Air and Water Show. This is going to do wonders for the industry because we're going to get several people more interested in being on the water because now it's an obtainable thing.
So how does it work? You recruit boat owners?
Correct. So we have captains that have already gotten their vessels certified in our legal charters.
Who certifies? They're certified as charter boats?
Correct.
Okay.
So the captains are certified as captains, and their vessels are actually cleared and certified by the Coast Guard. They're inspected by the Coast Guard. All of our vessels are inspected by the Coast Guard. If you are an owner of a boat, you can put your boat into the program, but you must be a licensed captain to actually captain the vessel during this voyage. So we only use licensed captains.
But we're talking about regular boats.
Correct. So the regular boats can go through a process of certifying their boats. They then will have to choose their own licensed captain the boat has been certified.
I guess my point, though, is that people, when they do this, they're not going to get on a boat with 150 other people. It could be 6 or 8 or 10 or 12.
Well, depending on the rating of the boat.
Right.
So the captains have specific license to carry a specific amount of people. Those captains will be 6-pack, 12-pack. And for the larger charters, we're partnering with some larger charter companies in the city to take some of our larger boats.
Now, you just said 6-pack and 12-pack, and you were talking about people on the boat.
Correct.
But there's going to be food available as well, and will there be liquor on these boats?
Well, it's BYOB, so feel free to bring anything that you want as far as alcohol. We are not a catering service. What we do, what we want to do is enlist a ton of restaurants across the city that are willing to deliver to these particular harbors.
Yeah.
So we're going to take the catering fact and put that into the ownership of the restaurant owners and drive some business that way.
Yeah, and I know so many boat owners who just want to go out on their boat and, you know, family members who just don't, right? And so this is a nice way on a Sunday afternoon for a guy or a woman who owns your boat or his boat to go out and to take people out on a ride to show them the sights of it. It's called catered cruises.
They have to be certified captains.
So I've seen it. They got to go through you. Yeah.
They've got, not through us, they've got to go through the ringers of the city, the state, and federally. We have a list of things that are required on our website under required forms or become an affiliate. If you look at our website at cateredcruises.com, that information is there to enlist your boat as well as find a way to get on the water before those dates book up.
And if there are boat owners interested first, they can go to your website, get the information, and go that way.
Correct.
And then the weather will warm up and the boats will be filled.
Absolutely.
And we will have a great summer. Chris Brown, Catered Cruises, thanks very much for coming by.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.